That's good stuff. I love it.
It's true.
Amen. Love you.
Yes, thank you. Amen. Johnny. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us and blessed us with. It is a day of praise. It is a day of thanksgiving. It is a day of your glory. It is a day of your truth being witnessed. Is it a day to stand up for the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, living the gospel, verbalizing the gospel, telling others about Jesus, how he paid our sin debt in full on the cross? We are thankful for the resurrection. We are thankful for the word of the living God, the truth of God given to mankind that will set mankind free when he receives it as truth from God and accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And as I am reminded, watching a prayer the other day on TV, evidently he doesn't know his Bible. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. He is our Savior. The Bible says one Lord, one faith, one baptism, non-negotiable. There is no woman God. We will not say amen to anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ, a risen Savior. May Pelosi learn that she is not God. And I pray for all of those who think they are little gods in Washington. I stand on the side of love, the fruit of the Spirit, but yet I stand for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't get saved to turn into a wuss. I didn't get saved to make an exit when things get tough. I got saved to live the gospel and verbalize the gospel and be proud of it. Father, I pray that you will open our hearts and our minds this morning and enlighten us spiritually. We may truly learn what truth is and what is out there in the invisible realm that we cannot see, but it is there. How we must confront it, how we must deal with it. So I pray that you will educate us from the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher this morning. May we walk out of this service more informed than we were when we came in. May we leave not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but more concerned about what is taking place and how we should come together and take a stand for the reputation of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to take your printout this morning as we begin. I will do my best to not get in trouble this morning. My wife, I'm surely she's here. So you know how that goes, Johnny. Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. I hope you have something to write with. Notice the title, Antipas. Some say he wasn't real. I say he is. Jesus gave him a name. He is a Christian. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. He believed that Jesus Christ paid his sin debt in full. And when the opportunity came to him by way of the Holy Spirit convicting him of his unbelief was turned into belief in Jesus Christ. And that never changed with this man, Antipas. Antipas Jesus' beloved martyr. There are three things we will glean from this message this morning. Number one, surrender is not an option. Surrender is not an option. You and I have been saved to be soldiers of the cross. We have our equipment. We have been equipped by the Lord Himself. Along with that equipment came empowerment, that is spiritual empowerment, that is divine empowerment, that we need to handle the supernatural adversary that is out there. The king of it all is Satan, the devil himself. His minions are demons. They are fallen angels. But remember, Satan and the demons are all under the control of Jesus Christ. So surrender is not an option. As Christians, we will not surrender. We will stand for the truth and in the truth that is given us in the Word of the living God. Secondly, Christians are first responders. Christians are first responders. Let me define a first responder. Designated. I don't know if you know it or not, but when you became a Christian, you were designated at this moment to be a first responder. Not to run from, but to run to. And that's what we've got to do at this moment. And in the days that are coming, it's going to be a rocky, rough road in the year that is here, the new year. But don't listen to Pelosi. Don't listen to those other Democrats that want to own you and rule you and tell you what to do and how to live. We have one God, and it's not a Democratic Party. Our God is the God of the Bible. I'll say it one more time. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So when you talk about Christians, we are first responders. That means we're designated. We are trained. We are responsible to provide assistance and also to provide rescue. And then there is the third thing. No word of God is without power. No word of God is without power. As Southern Baptists, we will read the Bible. But as Southern Baptists, we need to learn not only to read the Word of God, but also to verbalize the Word of God. And that is speak the Word of God in every situation you find yourself in as a child of the living God. Very quickly, number one, surrender is not an option. Number two, Christians are first responders. And number three, no word of God is without power. Let's go back to the printout. The city of Pergamum was a very oppressive place. It was filled with demonic powers and all types of dark, mysterious, pagan religions. Let's make a note here. This church we're reading about is in a very bad neighborhood of satanic strongholds. When you think about satanic strongholds, you think about satanic mindsets. Unhealthy thought that will bring terrible grief, sorrow, unhappiness, and strong delusion. So the city of Pergamum was a very oppressive place filled with demonic powers that are supernatural and all types of dark, mysterious, pagan religions. In the center of the city lived a Christian leader named Antipas. Antipas was causing quite a ruckus in the city because he was casting demons out of people who had been tormented and controlled by them. The pagans. Now underline the word pagans and write this down. Only one out of six have God's perspective in the United States of America. Only one out of six have God's perspective in the United States of America. So the pagans in Pergamum became agitated, claiming the demons were upset because Antipas was casting them out. Sound familiar of what's taking place in Washington, D.C.? What's being exposed? It is what? Really demonic activity. Demons that are influencing people that are non-Christian. Question number one, how was Antipas casting out these demons? By exercising, by verbalizing his God-given authority that came through Jesus Christ. Number two, did the pagans become angry? The answer is yes, very angry and full of hate. They said to the governor, do something about this Christian man who is casting out demons. Number three, what did the governor demand from Antipas? A, repent. Change your mind that you may change your behavior. That you will welcome evil and welcome demonic activity. That you will stop exposing evil. So repent of casting out demons and return to your pagan roots. Sound familiar? We're hearing that right now as I speak. We're not very happy with you from the Democratic side, for we are being influenced by demons, and we like it. We love it. And we're going to allow the demons to have their way. I'm telling you, it's time for the people of the Church of the Living God to take a stand. Washington can only do what we allow them to do. What you saw of the Trump boys in Washington, it's just the tip of the iceberg. If the Democrats don't change their way of thinking and their way of doing, people are tired of being told what to do. They're tired of lockdown. They're tired of not having a check while the fat boys in office are getting theirs weekly or monthly as they have been getting them. So people are saying enough is enough. Yes, we want transparency. Yes, we want to know the truth. And we do not care for fraudulent votes. We do not care for the corruption that we see take place today. I know as Christians, we are to be Christian-like, but also be soldiers of the cross. We are equipped not only to speak the gospel, to verbalize the gospel, to live and witness the gospel, but we are also equipped to stand in the face of our enemy. For Satan and his demons and the evil that comes from them cannot stand in the face of the Word of God and be successful. When the Word of God is spoken, they've got to back up. They've got to go down. Southern Baptist, learn to read it and learn to speak it. Learn to verbalize the Word of God in every situation that you find yourself in. All right, back to the printout here. Number three, so what did the governor demand from Antipas? Repent of casting out demons and return to your pagan roots. B, did Antipas refuse? The answer is yes. And here's a little note to go with yes. Jesus consistently calls his followers to lay themselves on the line for the gospel. What will it cost for you and I to continue reading and studying and verbalizing and witnessing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will it cost us our lives? Will we have to lay our lives down at some time or another for the sake of the gospel? I don't know. Will it come to that? I don't know. If it does come to that, are you going to run to it or are you going to run away from it? Will you be a first responder, setting the example and the precedence that needs to be set for other Christian people, maybe that are riding the fence and they don't know exactly what they need to do. Be the encouragement and be the spiritual example that God has saved you to be, that God is calling you to be, and that God is equipping you to be. Here we go. Did Antipas refuse? Yes. And the consequence was death. Here's another note. Death cannot take away what Jesus Christ has given you. Amen. Death cannot take away what Jesus Christ has given you. Now, let's look at Revelation 2:13. My, who is my? It is a reference to Jesus Christ. My faithful martyr who was slain. Look at the word faithful. When you had the opportunity to break your vow and walk away, you did not do it. You continued conducting yourself for the glory of God, upholding the reputation of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to read something about a martyr. What is a martyr? It is a witness for Jesus Christ. Martyr, faithful to the truth, regardless of any potential acts of retribution that might be carried out against him by those who opposed his witness or who wished to suppress the truth. This witness was of the highest level of integrity and commitment. There was a willingness to sacrifice oneself or status to uphold the truth. Antipas knew the possibility that a person could pay a high price for being a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, back to the printout. Look at the word slain. The word slain means violent death. Was Antipas going to suffer a violent death? The answer is absolutely yes. I would say a death that the majority of Christians would run from today. Butchery. Brutal, gruesome death. There was a brazen bull, underline brazen bull. The brazen bull, when you study it, was known also as a human crock pot. A human crock pot. Odds are some of you have a crock pot going right now. You've put something in it, you put the lid on it, and then you turned up the heat. Well, that's about what the brazen bull was like right there. Let's read about it. There was a brazen bull in the Acropolis of Pergamum. It was made of metal and was hollow inside. In the head area of this metal bull, pipes had been placed, and music or sound could emanate from them. There was also a side door where victims were placed to burn them alive as a fire was ignited beneath the brazen bull. What I'm about to read, I asked God to let me feel. I want you to listen to this paragraph. And I want you to answer the question. If they had come for you like they did Antipas, and put him in that brazen bull and close the door. You ever seen an inside picture of that brazen bull? It was big. It could hold you, Johnny. You either laid down in it, the belly of it, or you would lay down and your upper torso would go up in the neck of that bull. Have you ever had a furnace in the floor of your house? I remember growing up in the hallway, there was a furnace. And you didn't dare walk across that furnace with no shoes on. If you're like me, you did, because you forgot every now and then. And as soon as your foot, the bottom of your foot, hit that floor furnace, it hurt and it burned. Listen, question number four. Did this happen to this Christian named Antipas? Yes. They placed him Antipas. Now you think about it. Roman soldiers get you, you can't escape. God, I thought you loved me. Why don't you deliver me from these soldiers that are about to put me in this brazen bull? You know what is about to happen. You know what I'm about to experience. I thought you were a loving God. He is loving and He's holy at the same time. He said, I do love you. I died for you. Johnny, would you rather have the cross or the brazen bull? You want the nails? You want to be humiliated in front of everybody? Or would you say, not today? No cross today. I'm going in the bull. They placed him, Antipas, inside this bronze bull, and then they closed the door. I want you to live this. And then all of a sudden, you feel the heat. And that brazen bull is getting hot. Hotter and hotter and hotter. And you know what? What did you do when you stepped on the floor furnace? Foot came up real quick. How would you like to be put in something that there was no wiggle room? And it was getting hot as a floor furnace. The fire's going under it, and it's getting hotter all the time. And when it starts getting hot to the touch, to where you can't stand it anymore, where do you go? What do you do? You're trying to raise this end up, lean forward. In other words, is there any place I won't touch this brazen bull that is so hot? Is there any safe zone in this brazen bull? I can't stand it anymore. I'm burning. I have nothing to touch. Nothing to give me relief. I'm burning up alive inside this bull. And I sat there at my desk time and time again, different hours of the day downstairs, saying, Lord, give me a feeling of this. What was it like for Antipas to be put inside here, the door closed, then the fire was built up, it just glows red, it is so hot, Dwayne, and there's no place to go. I can't insulate myself in any way. I feel it. It's all over. I'm frying. Would you do that? I think a lot of Christians in America have forgotten what a martyr for Christ is. They placed him, Antipas, inside the bronze bull. They lit a fire and closed the door. As the fire began to heat up, the metal became hot, and Antipas was literally fried to death. And then some have the audacity to treat Christianity as nothing. No commitment. No integrity. No call to be the soldier of Christ and the witness of Christ. Have we forgotten what it is? Do we know what it is to be a martyr for Jesus Christ? Will you lay your life on the line for Jesus Christ?
We're not done.
He was fried to death. Through the musical pipes in the head of the statue, the screams of victims like Antipas made it seem like the bull was alive. You ever heard somebody put in a fire and scream? No relief? What would they say, do you think? Kill me! Shoot me now! I can't stand this any longer! The pain is unbearable! How do you think it'd feel like to be fried to death? And what do you think it would sound like when he was hollering? And the sound of him was going through the pipes and out through the mouth of the bull. It wasn't a holler. Would you imagine it was a hideous scream? Through the musical pipes in the head of the statue, the screams of victims like Antipas made it seem like the bull was alive. This was a horrific death, and when the pagans later opened the doors where victims had been burned, the pagans would extract and polish the bones to wear as jewelry. Page 2. I'm not going to cry now. I got that out of my system. Down at my desk studying. God forgive us at times for being so flippant with our Christianity. I can take it or I can leave it. When you get that attitude, if you ever get it, would you go back to Antipas? Antipas said, I allowed myself, I was put in there, I went in there. They didn't have to push me. I was a martyr for Jesus Christ and proud to do it. So the next time you think, oh, there's not much as Christianity, I can take it or leave it, then you tell Antipas that. Page 2. Question. Will the gospel unseat Satan? Yes. Matthew 16, 18. I will build my church. Who's I? Jesus Christ. How did he build it? Through the what? Death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Being alive, not dead. So if Jesus Christ, listen to this, to those that say Jesus is dead, that God is dead. What did he just say? I will build my church. If the church is still growing, then Jesus must be alive. Amen. Because he's in the process of building his church, right? Amen. So God's not dead. Amen. The only thing dead, a lot of it, is in Washington, D.C., which needs the life of Almighty God. You know what? The next time this guy prays, every Christian in the House, every Christian in the Senate should stand up and say, God is not a woman. Amen. And we will not say amen to that. It is non-negotiable to us. To the printout. I will build my church and the gates of Hades, listen to what it says in the Greek, and the gates of Hades cannot stop God's plan. Jesus is alive. And you can't stop or shut down the power of Almighty God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. You can't shut Him down. Amen. I say this. is to the child of God and every assembly of Almighty God. In Jesus' name, stand up for Jesus. You can't shut Him down and you can't shut the plan of God down because it is alive by the grace of God and the power of God and the eternal life of God. Amen? Thank you. Okay, number six. What were the Christians in Pergamum really dealing with? Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle. You know what it says maybe in your translation? For we wrestle not. You know what the word wrestle in the Greek means? It means face to face, up close, you can feel my breath. That's an individual struggle. Would I be safe in saying that most people in here are having an individual struggle with what we're about to read? Yeah. For our individual struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, powerful spiritual entities, against the world forces. World forces are world ruling gods of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. In other words, the powers that inhabit the unseen world. If you could see what is there in the first heaven, the sky, the blue, it'd blow your ever-loving mind with all of the activity supernatural that is taking place. And let me tell you something. I would say they're getting antsy right now. Things are taking place. You can see the world getting ready, or God getting ready, a one world ruler, the Antichrist. A one world currency. They want to take away your dollar bills now, don't they? They won't take away the paper money. Things are being set up in a prophetic manner that are leading us rapidly to the coming of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I have one thing to say about that. I pray that you'll be ready. I pray that you will have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, because at the rapture of the church, the Scripture says it will take place in the twinkling of an eye. And I don't know of any human being that can make a profession of faith by the time you can blink your eyes. Satan had come in like a flood and established a seat of authority. Christians in the city could not escape the spiritual darkness because the entire city was filled with demonic activity. Like a flood, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness had entered Pergamum. Question number seven. Can the gospel work in your life? The answer is yes. And here's a little note. The gospel works in your life by two things, by living it and by verbalizing it. By living it and by verbalizing the Christian message. Now, the gospel, I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, and you're right there. You're right, Ken. You know where I'm going, don't you? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. People say, what do I need to know? Well, there's a lot of passages in the Bible that you can turn to about salvation. Here's one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. For I passed on to you. Will you underline that phrase? For I passed on to you. In that culture, in that time, what you heard, you were expected to pass on. You know what I'm fixing to say. For every Christian that has heard the message of the gospel, you are obligated and responsible to pass on what you have read and what you have heard. For I have passed on to you as of first importance what I also received. Who did he receive it from? Jesus Christ. And where was he? He was in the third heaven. That Christ died. Was Christ male or female? Christ is male. Christ died for our sins according to that which the Scriptures, that's the Word of God, foretold in Isaiah, verse 4. And that He was buried and that He was bodily raised on the third day according to that which the Scriptures foretold. There's the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ right there. And there are other places just as well to read it. All right? Let's go back here. Question number 7. A, the gospel can unseat Satan in your life, in your family, your finances, your business, your church, your neighborhood. Only the truth of God's word can defeat Satan's falsehoods. All right? Number 8. Question number 8. What does the Christian do when surrounded by evil? A, hold fast to the name. What is that word name? You read it all the time. The word name refers to the reputation of Jesus Christ. You know what you need to do when surrounded by evil? Hold fast to the reputation of Jesus Christ. You know what? His reputation, you're holding it in your hand right now. It's in the Word of God. What is the reputation of Jesus Christ? He is God. I'll say it again. All-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. And that's the one I want to wrap my faith around, the reputation that He is. All right, back to the printout. Now, continue to hold fast. Hold fast is kratos. Kratos. It means a powerful grip. A powerful grip. These Christians were wrapping their faith tightly around the name, the reputation of Jesus, so no one could take it from them. Number 2, religious attacks, cultural attacks. What are we seeing today? Cancel culture. Cancel culture. We don't like this, we cancel it out. We don't like this statue, we're going to tear it down. Whatever we disagree with, we're going to take it and destroy it. All right? So you have that coming against Christians. You have religious attacks that will come. You have cultural attacks. Cancel culture. You have social attacks. What is a social attack? It is attacking human emotions like fear, like curiosity and anger and other things. And then number 3, he says hold fast. Hold fast refers to great pressures, trying to take away the reputation of Jesus Christ. Now, write some things down if you will. What are the great pressures that are trying to take away the name of Jesus? Number 1, demonic pressure. Demonic pressure is out there. It is alive and well and extremely active, trying to take away the reputation of Jesus Christ. Then there is the supernatural power that is coming from that supernatural realm. That's a big pressure that we're facing today. Also, there is intelligent demonic pressure. Intelligent demonic pressure. Now remember, Satan has been around a long time, right? And he has game film on all of us. He knows how we're going to react to any given situation better than you and I do. All right? Then there is a well-organized demonic pressure. Demons are highly organized. Then there is, lastly, a high level of demonic hatred. A high level of demonic hatred. So hold fast refers to great pressures trying to take away the reputation of Jesus Christ. And these Christians, lastly, made a decision. And I hope you'll make that today. I hope you'll make a decision. It may be hard now, but would you think about Antipas? Would you think about Jesus Christ on the cross? Antipas. You know what I'd like to say today? Thank you so much for giving me the courage to do what I would find hard to do. But thank you, because I know when you drew your last breath in that bull, when death came, that was a pain to be remembered no more. To be caught up in the air, to be going up with Jesus Christ. You know what? I know Satan hates my guts. And humanly speaking, I know there's a lot of Democrats do up in Washington. Let me clarify that. Because I do not agree with them. but I must stand on the side of love that is the fruit of the Spirit. And let the Word of God do the work. But don't be afraid to bring it, to speak it right there. And don't back off. And don't let them back you down. You're a soldier of the cross. Act like it. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God that You've given us to live out, to speak forth, knowing that no Word of God is without power. And it is the power of God to confront our enemies and deal with them as You see fit. And help us with that spirit of love, a fruit of the Spirit, to confront our enemies as You did. I still have a hard time, Father. But You said it through Your Son, Jesus, on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I still wrestle with that. Work on me. Work on me. That I may truly be Your representative in every scene of life. Even that one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand.
The Savior.